Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing Podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. This piece was published on the 12th of May, 2022, and is entitled Quamina, and that is spelled Q-U-A-M-I-N-A. No parent will name a favorite among their children. But I do have one among my brain children, my software contributions over the decades, the event streaming code I helped build at AWS. After rage quitting, I missed it so much that over the last few months, I wrote a library in Go called Quamina, and here's a link to it on GitHub, that does some of the same things. This is about that. Quamina offers an API to a construct called a matcher. You add 1 or 100 or 1 million patterns to a matcher, then feed events, data objects with possibly nested fields and values to it, and it will return you an array, possibly empty, of the patterns each event matches. Both patterns and events are represented by JSON objects, but it should be easy to support other event encodings. Quamina, and here I beg pardon for a bit of chest pounding, is really freaking fast. But what's more interesting is that its speed doesn't depend much on the number of patterns that have been added. Not strictly speaking O1, but pretty close. Concretely, on my 2019 Intel MacBook Pro, it can pattern match several hundred thousand events per second without much regard for how many patterns are loaded into the matcher. The benchmark I use most for optimization has maliciously constructed rules that force the matcher to look at basically all the fields in events of about 1 kilobyte in size, where the values are arrays of long floating point numbers. I try to keep this worst case running at 150k per second or better. History. Back in 2014-2015, I wrote V1.0 of a conceptually similar library operating inside AWS, which now implements pattern matching capabilities for EventBridge, and quite a few other teams around Amazon filtering millions and millions of events per second so they can be accepted, rejected, or routed. Lots of super talented collaborators emerged over the years, and I bet that these days my code isn't even a majority of the thing. I've been lobbying AWS, and that's a link to a blog piece about the lobbying, to open source it, and that conversation continues. It might happen. But I missed working on it so much that I built Quamina. Also, the AWS version isn't in Go, and I thought a Go library might be nice. I plan to write a few pieces about Quamina. Whether or not its features interest you, it illustrates lessons in dealing with data in motion at a scale that not very many people are lucky enough to be given a chance to code for. Automata. Quamina is based on finite state machines, which is a link to the Wikipedia entry, also known as finite automata. There is a rich body of academic investigation into the discrete math theory of automata, almost none of which I've studied. But once I got the basic idea, state machines have been the first tool I've reached for across the decades when faced with hard programming problems. I'm not going to introduce the concept here because anyone who's either got a CS degree or written much software knows the basics. I like using automata because they have very, very predictable performance. If you're processing a row of data items, you only have to look at each item once, which is a pretty strong constraint on the time you're going to spend. Also, the typical unit of work in stepping through an automaton is small, thus fast and predictable. Assuming I write more on Quamina, there will be lots of digging into details of how to make automata useful. Quamina by example. This is going to be easier if we have an example to work with. And here, there's various splashes of JSON in this blog piece, and I still haven't decided, now that I've arrived at it, whether I should try and read them into the audio version. I'll feel like an idiot, but oh well, here goes. So this is a JSON object with only one top-level field called image, and the image field has a width field with value 800, a height field with value 600, a title field called view from the 15th floor, a thumbnail field, which is another object with members which are URL, height, and width. And then there's, after the thumbnail, the next field is animated, which is false, and then IDs, which is a list of integers. This is actually the canonical example of a JSON event from RFC 8259. So here are two patterns that would match the event. And one of them just says image, which is the same as the top-level field in the event. And then within that, and its value is an object with only one field in it, width, and its value is an array with only one value in it, 800, which is the same as the width value in the event. And I'm not going to read the second pattern. But the idea is that the shape of the pattern matches the shape of the object. So if you want more examples and explanation, go look at the README file over there on GitHub, and there's a link to that. This doesn't look much like a typical query or pattern matching language. The pattern echoes the shape of the event you're trying to match. This turns out to have pleased a few developers, one or two of whom have said nice things to me. Unfortunately, I have no recollection of the thought process that got us there in the white heat of the early design sprints for what became EventBridge. I remember a meeting in Seattle where I got up and sketched a few of these on the whiteboard, and people said, well, it's not SQL, should it be? And then eventually, well, yeah, I guess, looks okay. Then we moved on. There must have been some discussion before that? Anyhow. The trick. The idea of compiling together a bunch of automata and using them to match data is not exactly new. I think the OR, vertical bar, operator was introduced to grep while I was still in high school. The idea of using it on data that takes the form of JSON objects is a little less obvious. Here's how it's done. Step one. So first you flatten the event fields into name value pairs. Here are a few of the fields in flattened form. So here's three of them, image.width, 800, image.thumbnail.width, 100, image.ids, and a list of numbers. And then you sort them by path name. So that just puts image.ids first, image.thumbnail.width next, and image.width last. Then you do the same trick with the flattened sorted pattern and run it against the flattened sorted event, and away you go. And the reason this all works is because the order of fields in a JSON object doesn't matter. And so you can go ahead and sort them and match them that way. So what next? Quamina has enough features to be useful, and the unit test coverage isn't terrible. I'd like people to look at it and see if it solves any problem they have, or alternately, if they see a reason why it's all wrong. Bear in mind that there will probably be another, more feature-rich version in another popular programming language coming from AWS later this summer, assuming that open sourcing project goes ahead. It isn't at 1.0 yet and has no CI/CD, which means I reserve the right to change the APIs. In particular, the top-level matching API could be made into function as a Go generic. Quamina already has generics internally. I couldn't stop anyone putting it into production, but I probably wouldn't if I were you. But if that idea even crosses your mind, do please get in touch. And that's all, folks.